This is Film Center, your number one show for real entertainment industry news. No fluff, all facts. Now, here are your anchors, Derek Johnson II and Nicholas Killian.
Number one place for studio news. I'm Derek Johnson II.
I'm Nicholas Killian.
And what are we talking about today, Nicholas?
Today we are talking about Dune Part 2.
Yes!
But not only are we talking about Dune Part 2, but what else are we talking about today, DJ?
We're talking about something interesting. They're called
D-Box seats.
As you guys know, here at Film Center, we don't really review movies. That's not really what we do. However, the reason why we do bring up Dune Part 2 is because of, first of all, $84 million in the box office right now.
Right.
It's doing better than wiping the floor with every other movie that's out right now. Just wiping the floor.
Just absolutely destroying. Dune Part 2.
There's a scene where Timothy Chalamet is just making out with himself. That took a lot of scenes in the movie.
It's at over $200 million right now.
It must have been that weekend I saw that was the $84 million. Then. The reason why we're really talking about, though, is the D-Box seats. Me and Nicholas,
and the special Dune popcorn bucket.
So we'll talk about the popcorn bucket first and just get that out the way. The Dune popcorn bucket. All right, here's the fiasco with that. Y'all knew y'all was wrong when you made that, all right? I'm going to drop down the barrier for a second. You guys know you shouldn't have done that.
You guys knew you wanted viral marketing.
You knew you... Oh, we're going to make the top a hole.
Okay, okay. But it's a worm. Hey, man.
Okay. You know what you were doing. And if you didn't, this is, again, I will say this to them blue in the face. And it has nothing to do with race. But you definitely need a black guy when you're making decisions. At least consult one. Because I guarantee you, as an African-American male, my first thought would have been like, first of all, it shows how out of touch a lot of these big movie executives are.
Because if you genuinely didn't think that it looked like what exactly it does,
you're not getting any, for one. And then for two, what? I guess they don't go on the internet or nothing. Or I guess they're just not people, or males or something. I don't know. Because apparently, people are asking for the Dune popcorn bucket, hold the popcorn, extra butter.
Yeah, exactly. We even saw a video that was like, yes.
Yeah.
Dune popcorn bucket. Hold the popcorn.
Extra butter. Yeah. So it looks like, oh my gosh. And here's the craziest part. If you would have had a black guy on there, that black guy would have been like, what the heck are y'all doing?
Also, there was no women?
Yeah. Was there not a woman here to help decide? Oh, you know what? It probably was. It could have possibly been that there was a woman involved. But like in a lot of boardrooms, the men just only have her there as a hire and don't listen to her. Because I feel like a woman would have probably said, like, hey, I don't think you should do this. Clearly, this was something done by some old rich people who were out of touch. Yeah.
But anyway, yeah.
Let's talk mostly about the DC seats.
Let's talk about the D-Box seats. So I was the one. So we were like, first of all, let's go ahead and we got to call out DJ for being a gaslighter, first of all, because
yeah.
I had not seen all of Dune Part 1.
Which means he hadn't seen it.
But this man was trying to make it seem like I hadn't seen any of it.
So this man says, this man, Nicholas, specifically says, hey, I've only seen the last half of Dune. The first part of Dune Part 1. And I'm like, okay, well, you haven't seen the movie. Yeah, I have. No, you haven't. You've seen. It's like saying, like, oh, I got a 50 on a test, so I know all the knowledge, and I should deserve to get the same credit.
I never said I knew all the knowledge. You were trying to make it seem like I had never seen Dune before.
Because
like,
I was asking him questions about. I was like, yeah, because you're going to need to know XYZ for the movie, for Dune Part 2, which he would not have known if he hadn't seen the beginning part of the movie is the most important part.
I understand what you're saying, and I never said that I knew it all, but you were trying to make it seem like I had never seen any of it.
You didn't know who. You didn't know the name of the house of Treyas. You didn't know the big flying
Doesn't
fat
mean
guy
I didn't
was.
See it, though.
Anyway, so to see Dune 2, he would need to know this knowledge. So, being the friend that I am, I have Dune.
So we watched the first 45 minutes of Dune.
And then when you started to recognize, I think you said that when they're sitting at the table, that's when you started watching it last time. So when they were there, which I don't think is exactly half. I honestly think it's like a quarter or like a third into the movie.
Yeah.
So really, you did see most of it. But
I'm glad we have that on the record now.
Yeah, most is not all of it. Anyway, so.
But anyway,
seeing that, so after we got done with that, we went to go see Dune Part 2.
Right. So we were looking at, we were like, oh, okay, let's go see it. And
at first we were looking at Dolby, but then
I saw something called D-Box, and I asked DJ, I was like, hey, what's D-Box? And he was like,
I don't know.
Let's look it up. So I looked it up, and D-Box is basically like a ride in the movie theater.
So if anyone's ever been to Shrek 4D or Kung Fu Panda 4D, I think it is now, at Universal Studios, or really any 4D movie where the chairs are moving around
right.
as you're watching the screen. Now, in 4D rides, they usually do stuff with water and things like that. We did not experience any sort of elementals with water or senses,
it was,
things like that.
But the
seats did move and vibrate. And there was only two rows in this theater that had it. And to me, it seems like it's still in this very experimental stages to get people back into the theaters.
I probably wouldn't do it again because it wasn't just, it's not, the technology is not there yet enough to warrant a second time.
Here's the issue. The issue is, so first of all, I love the idea.
The idea is phenomenal.
Because you're getting an experience that you couldn't get watching it at home, right? With the seats moving and stuff like that. In fact, the theater we went to, only two rows had it. And there was only three of us, literally everyone else was in regular seats. And then it was like us and one other person in these D-Box seats. Now, I will say this. They do have different levels of intensity, which I was like, I like that. Just
we put them all the way up. We were like, we want the full intensity.
The full experience, right? Because, you know, some ships, when they turn to the left, it, like, moves to the left. Some ships, when it turns to the right, it, like, people are going over cliffs, it tilts you downwards.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you feel, like, the vibrations, like, when someone's shooting weapons and stuff.
I mean, if they really get these D-Box seats, the technology down, dude, Star Wars would be amazing.
I guarantee you we will start flocking back to the theaters. Guaranteed. Here's part of the issue. Here's why people like 4D movies over Universal Studios and not the D-Box seats in the theater. And I had this issue when I was watching it. 4D movies are built around with the knowledge of knowing that the seats are going to do that. So there's not a whole bunch of places where the seats are just still and stagnant. Dune has too many quiet scenes where nothing is really happening but talking to have that kind of thing. If it was like Dunkirk or 19, that would have been awesome because you would have so much consistent movement. But it's weird to have your chair vibrate and move to the left and move to the right and tilt up and then tilt down and then for it just be still for like 20 minutes and then go back to tilting up and then it turns and all this stuff and then still for another 20 minutes.
And then whenever it's still, it's just like it's just like,
yeah, it still hums. Yeah, it just hums anyway.
It does little things here and there.
I think it's the battery that like makes it hum, right? Or something. And here's the other issue. In 4D, some of the speakers are like near or within the seats too. So for 4D movies, you have the Dolby 5.1. So you have the surround sound 5.1, but you also have things like the elementals with the smells. You also have some of the speakers in the actual seating, so it's like closer to you. You feel like you're in the movie, right? And if that's the point of the D-Box seats, either you need to do it all the way or don't do it at all, or else it's just going to flop on his head.
That's the thing.
I'm actually going to watch Dune 2 Part 2 without the D-Box seats.
One of the things that I was looking up on the D-Box seats and the technology is, so like you were saying, with 4D, it's completely immersive with elementals and stuff like that. D-Box focuses mainly on just the motion. Just the motion, just the...
It's not enough.
I don't think it's enough.
Yeah.
It might be enough if there was a full range of motion for the D-Box seat.
That's true. The D-Box seats did not move as much as a 4D seat would.
Right.
Now, 4D seats, you're still in a stationary theater. Mm-hmm. All right? It's not... I said Jimmy Neutron, because back in the day it was a Jimmy Neutron ride. But I think it's like Transformers and Spider-Man now on Universal, where like they move with the screen. You know what I'm talking about?
Wasn't it and then Jurassic it was Jimmy Park Fallon or King Kong?
I think it used to be those. But it's like a car that moves, right?
Oh, okay.
It's not like that. The 4D movies, you're in a stationary seat like you would be in a regular theater.
Yeah.
That the seat's moving and stuff like that. The issue is that with D-Box, they're just playing around with it. and you're doing it just a little bit, which, because they're not going far enough with the idea, it just comes off as annoying and like, distracting to the movie.
Yeah, it comes off as a little distracting, and it also doesn't justify the price.
No.
It doesn't, because...
They charge you, what is it, twice more?
Yeah, twice more, and the thing was, it just feels like it shakes you the whole time.
Yeah. Now, me and Nicholas got to see it. We didn't have to pay for the tickets.
Right, no.
They gave them to us, but again, I mean, they want our honest review. I mean, it just wasn't enough. It's like, maybe if they... When I say turning, it doesn't really turn. The seat's really just tilted to the left, just tilted to the right, tilted up, tilted down, and then shaked a little bit. And that was about it. And so it was just like annoying. Seriously, the first time my seat started vibrating, I thought at first that someone was kicking me behind me.
Yeah, I'm also not going to sit here and say that it did not add to the movie.
That's true.
It definitely added to the movie. It definitely added to the experience.
It added to the action scenes to me.
I like the surround sound because it's not only is it surround sound in the movie theater, it's surround sound in your chair.
Yeah, well, that's just what it's supposed to be. Not right. All the chairs had them. For 4D movies, it's like there's speakers in like every chair. For this one, they have it. There's like these long bars that are next to the seats, that are behind the seats where the sounds come from.
Oh, gotcha. Which is why it might have sounded like that. But yeah, I enjoyed it. I thought it was good.
I didn't. It's not like I
but
thought it was
not
bad.
But it's not worth the technology is not worth the price that they're probably going to charge you.
Here's the issue:
because either movie tickets are already super expensive now.
That's why people
to then double the price to do D-box seats. No,
especially to see the same movie everyone else is sitting for. The guy two rows ahead of me paid half price for the same movie I'm seeing just because my seat likes to vibrate. I'm just turning my phone to vibrate and have some people call me. Like, what you talking about? But here's the issue I think that is... Actually, here's the solution. Don't have D-box seats. Don't have two rows of D-box seats and then a whole bunch of regular seats. Have a D-box theater where it's actually 4D immersive with the whole thing with, like, smells and, like, elementals and stuff like that. And then have a regular theater. They should not be in the same theater.
Just have one special theater that you watch these movies in.
Either have it that version. Like they did with Gran Turismo, where we saw the 180 degrees. There was a special theater that was built for this different experience, right? And if you want to see regular, you go to the other theater. And it's not like it's a separate building. It's just a different theater.
Yeah.
That's what they should have done. I get why they're doing it. It's just the way they're testing it out. But you're testing a inferior product that people are not going to like because it's inferior. You need to test it out fully, and don't act like you don't have the money. All right, Hollywood people, you do have the money. You just don't like spending it. But if you want people to come back to your theaters, you better act like it.
Yeah, the cost is not justifiable.
It's not.
It's not justifiable. I think you would be better off...
Especially in a recession.
I think you'd be better off just going to it, seeing it in Dolby, and just doing that, because some of the part, like you said, Dune wasn't... I understand why you did it for Dune, but like you said, there's too many lulls. There's too many parts where it's, you know, completely nothing going on. And to justify the cost of the seat, they put... It's like vibrating and it's all this kind of stuff, and it takes you out the movie a little bit, but it's because you don't want to... Okay, I don't want it to vibrate 10 times, and then I spent 2 times the money to see this chair vibrate.
Like once or twice, you know, say, but at the same time, it's like, I think also part of the issue was the controller. So they programmed the seats, obviously, to do certain motions and stuff like that at the same, synced up with the movie.
Right.
Okay. Whoever was in charge of doing this needed to take some lessons from people down at some music parts, because their tilts weren't like exactly like they're supposed to be. Like, they weren't like... They don't need to be done for sci-fi movies. They should be exclusively for action movies. Where there's a whole bunch of stuff going on. Kung Fu Panda would have been great in D-Box.
Yeah.
Kung Fu Panda would be great in D-Box.
We asked him because Kung Fu Panda is one of my favorite DreamWorks franchises. I even asked him. I said, hey, when we got the D-Box seats for Dune Part 2, was like, hey, are you guys going to be doing D-Box seats for Kung Fu Panda 4? And they were like, no. I was like,
and I said, so it's only for this movie? Then it's a waste of time. You just programmed in these seats. You know? I'm like, you wasted all these money for these two row of seats to where you had to charge regular people twice the price, you better be using them, or at least trying to push them in every movie. That's, like, I'm sure if I watched Fast and Furious with D-Box seats, that would have been crazy awesome.
Yeah.
I would have really enjoyed that experience because there's so much stuff going on, plus cars. You're driving around in cars so often, so you feel like the vibrations of the car, like speeding down the highway or something like that. Like, that would have been great. Or war movies could have been really cool. Something that has an obscene amount of action in it.
Also, I think what...
Like someone said, hey, we should go see Marriage Story in D-Box seats. And be like, okay, so I don't want to talk to you anymore. Lose my number.
Right. I think also what they were trying to do, if I were to think like them for a second, is they... I don't know if it's they didn't have the technology, they didn't want to spend the money, but the thing is that you don't want to have it too lawsuit. Like, you don't want to have it too lawsuit worthy where you have a potential for your customers to get hurt. Because you're always going to have people that
are... That's true. I didn't think about that.
Yeah, that are... How could they potentially hurt themselves? Because, mind you, it's not... You could have the 90% of people or the 99% of people that do it correctly and have it like a themselves. Have it like a roller coaster ride and exactly how they want to do it.
But that 1% who
But it's sue. That 1% or just one person. Right. Just one person.
Out of millions, one person.
Out of millions needs to get hurt before it's all shut down. They sue them... And they're like, okay, yeah, now I have a back injury. Or now I have whatever it is. And then that's it.
So, again, that like here's the part that frustrates me the most is that the technology is already there. We've been doing 4D movies. I used to go to 4D movies when I was like 5. The technology's been there too long for you guys to not have done this properly. And no one, you can't really sue those 4D movies when they do all that stuff in there because they say... If you're pregnant you or you somebody. Have a... No, you can't because they tell you. If you're pregnant or you have a pre-existing condition or like some sort of heart condition or whatever, you're not allowed to go in. If there's anything wrong with you in general, you're not allowed to be there, basically. Right? And then it's up to your responsibility. And they say that publicly and often and like over the speakers and stuff like that. Because I used to work in a music park. That is one of the most replayed things ever. If you have any pre-existing conditions that could cause you to be injured by this, then... You're not allowed to get on. Or if you're pregnant, or if you could be pregnant. They didn't even say if you are pregnant, if you could be pregnant. So, you know, with 4D movies, they treat it like it's a ride, right? That's how they should have treated it in the theater, as if it's a ride.
What if it's not financially feasible to do that?
That's not our problem.
Because they would have to charge too much money. With us.
That's not our problem. They gotta figure that out. Again, the technology, it's not like I would agree with you. If I was like, oh, they have to do all the research on how to do it. We've been doing it for at least 20 years. You just literally just do what they're doing. How many times you gotta watch Captain EO at Disney before you figure it out? Captain EO was made in the 1970s by George Lucas and Steven Spielberg and was a 4D movie that had the 3D. They invented a new 3D camera to do it and they had all the shakes and stuff like that. And those seats, they don't do Captain EO now. So if you're listening to this... You would have to listen to this like 5 years ago to know what I'm talking about for Captain EO. And there's right. A lot of people who are, if you're not in elementary school, you're going to know what Captain EO is. But that Michael Jackson experience.
Right.
But those seats down, because they used to be one of my favorite rides when I worked at Disney, down in Disney World, they're like bolted to the ground. So all that reverberations you feel are actually from like the ground itself. Like the seats, they didn't have the technology to make those. But it's a great movie and it works with those seats and everything. Right. So, the technologies, that was the 70s when that was created. So, now I gotta think about this. 70s, 80s, 90s, 1000s, 10, like, bro, like, that's, you're talking about something that's 50 years ago.
Yeah.
Like, what is the excuse for you not knowing how to do this properly? And, we can't act like that technology has gotten way cheaper. Way cheaper. For you to get into Universal Studios, you gotta buy a ticket, right? Tickets like...
$100?
Sure. Let's say it's $100. No, let's say it's $150. Let's say that. $150, okay? You're not going to pay $150 to see a movie. Like, you're just not.
No.
You're just not. But if your favorite ride is Captain EO, you'll pay $150 to get in. So why would people do that? Because also they're served food and a whole bunch of other things. I think that if movie theaters treated it more. Oh, instead of, like, it used to be back in the day that people go to the movies because they couldn't see their screen at home. But now they can. The only reason people went to the movies was because they were an experience they couldn't get at home. It's about the experience. It's not about the movie.
Of course.
Right.
Yeah.
So if they can up their game. I mean, amusement parks are based on not showing movies, but are based on immersive experiences.
Right.
That's what they should be basing it on. There shouldn't even be an AMC. That shouldn't. If I'm being serious, AMC, Regal, if Disney was smart, they'd buy out AMC and they trade out all those theaters and make them all D-box seats.
Yeah, that would.
Disney have their own. I mean, they have downtown Disney, because I remember I'm not in Florida. I'm in California right now. I'm talking about Universal Studios City Walk, right? I got an AMC over there. I would just rip out all the regular half, well, at least half of them, rip out half the theaters. And you know, to test it out, maybe just one, just change it to complete D-box. And they would just start making money. Because they already had the technology. Now, AMC, Regal Cinemas, Carmike Cinemas, they have to invest in getting that technology and perfecting it. The amusement parks already have it. It's plug and play, babe. It's plug and play money. The theaters are trying to catch up to what you guys have been doing for 50 years.
What do you think is the issue? You think they're scared? It's scared
pride,
money?
Ego.
Pride and ego?
Yep. Same. There's only three issues in our industry. You know, the pride and ego is one. I'll combine those two.
Mm-hmm.
The second is money. Money. That's usually not an issue for them, but like that greed, I should say. It's more like greed. And then the third issue is just laziness.
Yeah.
Just straight up being lazy. As we're usually not so crass on the show, but this is not, just calling it how I see it.
Yeah, I think that a lot of them have the ability and want to rest on the laurels of the past. Especially now because the industry...
They're very traditional.
Especially now because the industry has gotten so restrictive and so high risk in terms of needing profit.
To the point that where studios can't even afford to make money here in California. All that, like, I don't care who you're talking to, a lot of those... Remember in Burbank, there used to be those big sound stages right next to the Vons.
Yeah.
Right? That's over there, across from the Warner Brothers Studios and the Universal Studios, right next to that Vons. They used to be all those big sound stages, right across the street, and right next to BB's and that apartment complex that's over there. Now they're all torn down and gone.
Yeah, a lot of it moved to the south. So
they're moving everything out of California. California has become so expensive, the rich billionaires can afford to live here.
We have a big, gigantic studio in Baton Rouge. It's called Celtic Studios.
Mm-hmm.
And it's gigantic. It's huge. I think they built it like maybe 10, 12 years ago. Mm. And it's right next to Costco. It's right next to a Costco. And they film a lot of movies there. They go to Georgia, right? Film a lot of movies there.
Nashville.
They film a lot of movies there.
Literally anywhere but California, it makes sense to film.
Because you think about your three biggest expenses. Extras, food, location.
Yeah. And location here is just so expensive. Like,
location is cheap in the South. The food is fantastic because it is the South, and it's cheaper.
And extras aren't complaining about stuff. They're just happy just to be in a movie compared to here where they have like, oh, you got to pay me even more money because I was basically just greed over here. There's too many greedy people in California.
Also, people in the South are just happy to be in the movie, and they're not trying to, ooh, let me get the director to look at me. And they're right. Just like...
They don't care about that. They're like, oh, cool, I'm in a movie. Cool, whatever.
Yeah. And one of the biggest things bigger than all of those is the fact that nobody cares who you are in the South.
That's true. Around here, people like, they love, oh, my name and what I've done. Around the South there, you could say, oh, you could be Steven Spielberg and go to where I'm from, Murfreesboro. Seriously. Walk around, no one's going to know who you are. And if you walk up to some kids who are studying media at the local college, to be news anchors or something like that, and say, hey, I'm Steven Spielberg. They'd be like, can we help you?
Yeah, that's what a lot of the celebs, especially when they come to Louisiana, New Orleans, Baton Rouge, that's one of the things that they say they like the most is the food.
Louisiana's a lot of fun.
The food is incredible, and the people leave them alone. Like, Tom Cruise used to go to the Whole Foods in Baton Rouge a lot, right? And Tom Cruise was basically talking about the fact that everybody would just leave him alone. Like, he'd be the one ordering his pizza in the line at Whole Foods and, like, jumping over it trying to see what's going on with his food, even though the glass is see-through. Yeah. That's what they were saying.
Yeah.
But...
I have heard that.
But the thing is, yeah, nobody cares.
Because, I'll tell you why, the only reason people care about who your name is and what you do is because that's the industry of the city. Or the industry of the state is entertainment.
Right.
The industry in the South is farming.
And still. Construction.
Farming, construction, like a lot of blue-collar jobs.
Right.
So, for you to impress them, you have to say, oh, hey, I'm the CEO of John Deere. Then they're going to be like, whoa.
Oh, I'm the president and CEO of ExxonMobil.
They're like, oh my gosh. Oh, I'm the head of all the Nissan factories that are here. They're like, oh my gosh, that's crazy. If you say, oh, I'm Tom Cruise, the famous actor, they're like, oh, cool. I think I might have seen you in a movie. Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, okay. Cool. Awesome.
Our parents are from the South. What is their reaction to when we talk about, oh, I met this person, I met that person? What do your parents usually say?
Okay.
Yeah, my parents...
They don't really care.
They don't care at all. I remember when I met one of my filmmaking heroes, Ryan Coogler. I have big respect for him. I'm very inspired by a lot of his work. I have a picture of him and me as... I had a picture of him and me as one of my... When I met him at an award show for the first time. It was like second, third time meeting him. But we took a picture together, and I had that as a profile picture of mine, right? My mom's going to call me and be like, who is that? I said, what? She goes, what is that, a cousin on your dad's side I don't know about? I was like... That's Ryan Coogler. She goes, you said that, like, I'm supposed to have some reaction to what you're saying. And I'm like, he directed Black Panther, Mom. And she's oh, okay. So why is he in this picture with you? She's from Alabama.
Right.
She's like, all right, cool. I'm like, you know the movie Black Panther? She goes, yeah, of course I do. Have you seen the movie? Yeah. Is it a good movie? Yeah, I like that movie. I was like, he also did Creed. She goes, I do Michael B. Jordan. So what did he do? And she's, I don't like... He was the director and writer. And she's like, oh, so he knows Michael B. Jordan. Yes, Ma. And she's like, okay, well, good for him. I still don't understand why he's in this profile.
Like, why do you have him in your...
She's like, yeah, I don't understand. I was like, seriously? And then I remember anytime I talk to my dad about anything, I'll say, oh, he'll be like, oh, what are you doing? And I'll be like, oh, I'm going to be on set today. I'm going to be there for X amount of hours. Do we want to know about the location we're shooting? This location is literally a spaceship. And so what we're doing is location. But that's like, my dad always says this. He goes, that's Chinese to me, which is translation from... Now, he's not from the South. He has been living in Tennessee. I'm from the South. For as long as I've been alive, he's been living there. But he's from Maryland. But to him, when he says that's Chinese to me, that means he doesn't understand. And it means I should move on to a different topic.
My dad will say, oh, okay. And, or he'll say, it's good work if you can get it, right? And that's because I'll tell him what I'm doing. Oh, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. And he's, must be nice, or good work if you can get it.
Yeah, they have like zero reaction.
They don't, he does not in the slightest. Just.
No care.
Because I'm like, Dad, he's like, Nicholas, I mean, cool, whatever.
I mean, good for you.
But like. How does this pay my bills?
Like, but what does this have to do with paying bills? It's like, it does pay bills, but we're being creative. And it's like, congratulations.
Yeah, okay.
All right, like...
Next subject.
That you said that, like, I was supposed to have some reaction to it. I don't care. No one cares. I remember, in fact, the only people in the South who care about Hollywood are people who want to be in Hollywood. Like yeah. us. But hey, guys, that was us about D-Box. If you think that you like D-Box, send us a... We would love to hear from you. info@filmcenternews.com. Mm-hmm. Send us an email or hit us up on our Instagram at right. filmcenternews and let us know what you think. But for right now, those are our thoughts on it. And I'm Derek Johnson II.
I'm Nicholas Killian.
And we'll talk to you later.
See you.
This has been Film Center on Comic-Con Radio. Check out our previous episodes at ComicConRadio.com. You can follow the show at Film Center News on all major social media platforms. Tune in next Wednesday for a fresh update. Until next time, this has been Film Center.